Hey, everybody. We had another brave listener, just like you, send in an anonymous voice memo talking about some challenges they faced when they first started delegating that I think are super relatable. So if you are just starting to build a team around you and really looking to delegate successfully, hopefully right away, take a shortcut. Or if you sometimes feel like you're failing as a leader or feeling like things are out of control as you delegate, this episode is for you. Shay, I'm going to give you the honor today of giving our anonymous listener a fake name.
Yes. Today, I'm going with Penelope.
Okay, so let's hear from Penelope straight from the source, you guys.
Hey, Shayna and Evelyn. The thing I wanted to share and I think would be so helpful for especially somebody that you're onboarding or even designers in general is for me realizing like my biggest breakthrough came from realizing that I'm not a sit down and make a list person. And I know that we've talked about, Shayna and I, we're very much alike. We're visionaries. We're always moving. I'm in the car between job sites. And then I'm an external processor and I have always been. I didn't realize that until recently. So early on, when I started working with 4DBiz and Logan, the delegation was stressing me out because I kept thinking, why does this feel harder with help? I had like all these thoughts in my head, but it was hard for me to stop and organize them. And so I just carried that mentally, and it was absolutely exhausting. And then I remember having a conversation on one of the coaching calls with Shayna, and it really changed the way that I looked at all of this. And it was my communication style.
Penelope, we feel you, girl, truly. Shay, I feel like this is, like she said, so similar to you in a way, in the way that your brain works and the way that you delegate, which can sometimes drive someone like me a little bit nuts, you know, because I like to do things and communicate a different way. There is no right or wrong. So talk to me about when Penelope came to this call and was feeling at rock bottom around all this. The stress is at an all-time high. How did you guys work through this? Like, what was the conversation?
Yeah, so Penelope comes to the call highly emotional, in the feelings, feeling like a failure, because there's a lot going on, a lot of people going on her team, many of which are doing their jobs great. It was the marketing team that she ended up calling out that, you know, the marketing team is on it and they send me these big emails and their very description, they have all the instruction and all the things that I need to do, but I just don't have time to open the email. I don't have time to give them the detailed responses that they need to. And her feeling like that she can't commit to the systems to show up, to give the team what she needs. And I loved it for the accountability of putting it on you as a leader, but the shift of perspective was I needed to show her that she wasn't you, Evelyn, and she was more like me. And through a series of storytelling and sharing moments that drive you nuts, Evelyn, you know, and us years ago having to have that conversation. I kind of remember when we had that conversation and it was a technology and sales and lead funnel. And you're like, why can't you just log into the technology? This is so simple and just take these steps after you have the discovery call.
It will take you the same amount of time to go into a high level and put in the notes and send the follow-up as sending it to me for me to send for you. And it'll go a little faster. And Shayna said, but I can't. I can't stay accountable to it because of me and my leadership style and the responsibilities I have on my plate. Okay, so now we're making that choice from priority.
Well, it really came from the accountability. I'm meeting hopping all day long. And even though, yes, it's a 5-minute action, everyone knows I'm chronically 1 to 5 minutes late, which Evelyn is another pet peeve. We will not sidetrack on that.
No, don't sidetrack. I don't want to rage out right now.
This is about Penelope, not me. But that 5 minutes, I couldn't stay accountable to. What I could stay accountable to was the follow-up to the client after. So in order to ensure all the things happened, we changed it so I could CC Evelyn in the email follow-up so she knew what was done and what was discussed. And then I would copy and paste my notes and just reply in the same email thread just to her. And boom, she would take it home. Am I wasting a little bit of time and is it costing me a little bit more money? Yes, it is. And I am choosing that.
But was it staying consistent after we made that choice?
Yes. And that's the money.
Yes, even me, who was trying to tell her to just do it the freaking way I told her to. I have to admit, they didn't get missed because she could commit to sending the email and CCing me on it, and I could commit to taking the rest of the steps from there. That's okay. It was a choice made intentionally by the leader of the company who gets to build the systems around the way that she works. And I feel like even just that story for Penelope, it was like, okay, it's not a weakness. It's a different kind of strength. It's a different kind of choice.
I'm a different type of person. Me and Evelyn, I really feel represent two very different types of leaders. And that is what provides such a strength to us as a unit. And that's challenging. Evelyn said it's challenging sometimes to adjust to someone like you who verbally delegates and has a lot going on, because she is someone who can do a lot of delegation and execution via email, have a lot less meetings, and be just as successful. But information doesn't flow out of my brain to fingertips like Evelyn. And there are also strengths and weaks inside of who you are as a leader, and also where those strengths and weaknesses lie, which I know we'll get into a little bit about something else that Penelope gets into this voicemail.
Right. But let's start to talk now. Like, that's the why. Those are the challenges. What were some of the tools and ideas that you gave her then to start immediately switching delegation styles for a way that might be more successful for her?
So what we kind of discovered in that call is she was collecting all the information through her day. I always say that every meeting of your day has instant delegation that needs to happen after. And what was happening, it was bottlenecking, and she was waiting to create these lists and do all of the organizational elements and then delegate. And that was challenging for her, just the organization.
She wanted to delegate something pretty, a numbered priority list with specific to-dos and instructions. But if you're waiting to do something perfect, you're gonna get held up.
And also, the frustration of clearly defining your thoughts is a real thing. We talk on another podcast on how Evelyn sees the three little dots on Slack. And it's like, delete. And then delete. She sees it go again. Like,
I'm like, I'm going to give this girl a call. She's struggling.
And you know what? Why didn't I send a voice note now that we're talking about this live? But that's some people, it's just hard to flow those racing fast thoughts that are flying through to those fingertips to clearly define. And that's okay.
And you know what? That person, you, Shay, in that moment when it's three dots and they go away, three dots and they go away, that is when you are at the biggest risk of communicating in a way that is going to come across wrong. The tone, when you're rushing your own thoughts and trying to just get it out there, it can also be very difficult for the person who's getting fired at. All of a sudden, just like we said in that other episode, go listen to it. But like, oh, I pissed her off somehow. Like, oh. And it can totally come across wrong. Whereas a quick voice memo, a quick call, you're communicating with that person in a way that they can't misunderstand anymore. A meeting, a voice note. These people that are the not email delegators, not bulleted list delegators, you are verbal delegators, and that is perfectly acceptable. That is a different strength of its own, as long as you're making choices around that.
And sometimes, yes, again, is it more efficient? Let's keep putting this on the table. Okay, can a voice note be longer to listen to than maybe a very long drafted email? I'm going to argue and say, actually, I don't think so, because voice notes you can listen to in 2x the speed. So even if you are long-winded, you are providing very important information in whatever elaborate explanation that you're giving. There's usually value to it, even if you trail off a little bit.
And if you're using something like Slack, it also makes a transcript. So sometimes I will still go, I'm just going to read it anyway, because that's my way.
If you're working with someone else that isn't that verbal delegator, it will still support the person who needs that written text to kind of shortcut and help with the organization. So I would say immediately on that call, we were defining that, and I was sharing stories with her about how I have non-negotiable rules. You go to a physical client meeting or you go to manage a project site. You do not put the car in reverse until your voice note is started. You can multitask on the drive, but making some simple rules for yourself so that that delegation happens immediately. There's no delay. There's no wait. There's no like, I forgot. Everything critical and important dumps out of your brain. If you're not a person that's very detailed and notating and the list is created on site as you're going, you're like, I cannot work that way. I need to focus on the client and having my conversations. I can't do that. It would have to be back at the office. Then you need to send that voice note. Whatever you need to do needs to happen before the car goes in reverse, the initiation happens. And you can do that at a lot of aspects of your delegation. That's just one example. There are many other ways to have some automated procedures in your day or processes. Another thing I shared with her is it's also about business growth. So there were things that I could hold myself accountable back into the day that I just simply cannot hold myself accountable to now. And if you're in a pocket of big growth, you're putting people onto your team, your communication has actually increased, not decreased. Now you have all these client emails. Now you have team communication that you have to manage as well. It's a lot.
People waiting on you for answers, people waiting on you for further guidance, drafts that you need to provide your feedback on so that someone can keep moving. It only grows.
It's okay. You're not failing if you're falling short and you cannot keep up. You have to change the way in which your team floats around you and gets what they need. So my team knows my work that needs to be executed outside of a meeting needs to be scheduled, has to be scheduled. If it's not scheduled, you are chasing me. You are probably sending 8 follow-ups and it's a waste of my time to have someone doing that.
Yeah, because the hour that would go to working on that, you're getting booked.
Right.
If it's not scheduled, you're getting booked over that time. And when are you supposed to do it?
So it has to be scheduled. So they know that. The other thing that happens is if you need feedback on something, that also is scheduled in a meeting. So that works better for me. I don't really love a lot of scheduled time to read through a doc and comment back on the page. In certain instances, that makes sense. In certain instances. But a lot of times for me in that leadership, I am that person that likes to over-explain the why. And especially if you're working on system of procedure and processes, your team needs to really understand those whys to help you. It's like, I don't know sometimes the right call. We got to talk this through. This is the need. This is the why. And then feedback comes into play. And the best leadership teams that you work with will not just yes you to death. I think we've talked about that on other episodes where you need to have that person's like, that's not the best way, and challenge each other back and forth. And that three-piece perspective is sometimes nice because sometimes there is a very even feeling when it was just me and you, Ev. I think we were always good at it, but like in turn, someone had to back down if we both felt equally passionate.
Yeah.
And now with Samantha in that trio, like she is the tiebreaker. I feel like we've made her uncomfortable a few times. Sorry, Samantha. She's like, what do you think, Samantha?
Which one of us do you agree with, Samantha?
Choose wisely. No, I'm just kidding. We're never that intense. Usually I'm like, I don't care. What do you think? Whatever the best way is. But yeah. Okay. So let's bust on.
Yeah. Let's get back to Penelope. You've had this conversation with her now. She's starting to have a little bit more vocabulary for her leadership style, some tools in the bag for how she could do things in a way that's going to feel more aligned with that communication style. And let's see how that felt for her.
So kind of going back to that conversation, I opened Slack at the red light and I sent this really long voice message to Logan. It was messy. It was half thoughts, to-dos, ideas. All of it had no structure or no polish, and before, I would be waiting to have that as a bulleted list and organize that for them. But what happened is, Logan, it was magic. She came back, she turned that voice note into like a clean, organized list with our next steps, and I remember thinking, oh, this is how this is supposed to work.
Hallelujah. I know. Okay, so I think it's very important that we talk about what the next steps were after this call.
It will not go, listeners. Please let me tell you right now, you will not go from rock bottom to magic T-minus 2 seconds.
Although I'm going to give myself some kudos on this call to say,
give them, girl.
if you are in the dumps, I have been told that magic does happen inside of an hour call. And you will leave that call feeling so much better than you once arrived. And now I feel like I have to reach out to a few people to get those Google testimonials to just make sure you know I'm not lying. But this was one of those calls where it's not just about educating. Now we need a strategy to help you build these systems around you. Quick action is yes, I can immediately start this voice note strategy. That's great. That's immediate.
Yep.
Implement right away. But we then scheduled 3 meetings after that. After that, the outcome was I went to Logan and said, hey, we need these 3 meetings. And one of these meetings was with me and 2 was with Samantha. Because what we really need to strategize was 2 things. There's a lot of people on the team. The team needed a recurring routine. Penelope needed a recurring routine, not only for her team and her business, but for herself that she could commit to and lead inside of.
Okay, so you've had this first call, which is really just the number one affirmation. You are not alone. You're not crazy. You're not failing. You're just a different kind of person. You've given that shared vocabulary and the knowledge of how she can move forward. Then, like we said, not instant, a few more meetings to actually put the strategy in place for Penelope as the business owner, for Logan as the assistant. And that's also going to give Penelope a framework for how she can grow her team beyond that. Because this isn't supposed to be a short-term solution that helps for the 2 people you have around you. This is supposed to give you the confidence as a leader that you can continue to grow that team, scale your company, say yes to more business, knowing who you are at the center of all of that. Because you are going to remain at the center, no matter how much that team grows around you, you're the nucleus.
Yeah. And the nice thing for Penelope was we had already provided her the pricing tool. So that tool really seeds everything. So it was a shortcut for us to be able to put that into a framework where she could control her pipeline and delegation and understand what needs to get done and how much time.
Right. Because imagine the emotional struggle. If you're at rock bottom of feeling like this in your delegation and your jobs aren't profitable and you're flailing on that side, that could have been a whole different combo.
But if that is you, there is what me and Samantha call a Band-Aid strategy to still giving you a framework, a simplified framework where you can still get in control. Even if you know currently my jobs aren't profitable, that's okay. We're still going to create some boundaries around what you sold. We're going to create a simplified list-based system for you to get into a Monday routine to be able to control the delegation. And then we fix your pricing structure and then we go enhance that. So that is very important, the strategy and framework to getting the assistant to succeed. Something I talk about all the time, especially assistants on our team. If you have made it through our interview process, our skills test, and passed 4 weeks of your maybe hired training to see what's up, they are great executors. We booby trap them in so many different ways to make sure that these are people who can execute based off of specific instruction. So if they're quote unquote failing, I know that it's not them. I know that it's the leadership has not given them the tools and the specific instructions they need to succeed. That's what it is. And so also, I'm not going to stray into this, but it really just leans into the importance of continuing to document processes and non-negotiably put that time into the business as you're learning your leadership style, your communication style, how information is flowing and tasks are getting delegated. All of that needs to be written down in a very clear step-by-step guide. So as you grow in your leadership, in your business intake, as you grow people on your team, it's done in a controlled, sustainable way.
Yeah. So let's hear from Penelope how that's been for her moving forward.
So my person that renders my in-person assistant that I have now, even my bookkeeper, and then even Kirsten with marketing, this is how I communicate and this is how I've been able to scale and grow because I'm using what has worked for me. And so it just didn't shift the delegation. it helped me be more confident as a leader because I stopped trying to work like someone else. I built this team around me that works the way that I operate. So I wanted to share that with you because I think it was such a pivotal moment and it helped me learn how to delegate properly. Also, the mental load is gone because it's just a dump. But anyway, thank you guys. I appreciate all of you.
So here's something super important I want to say out of this. This is why you cannot buy a system of procedure. You cannot just buy a business framework and plug yourself into something that you feel like is expected of you. Newsflash, all these things that are out there are great for a specific point in your business. Early days, it's just you. You're trying to figure it out. You're still learning.
A shortcut, something to iterate on, something to make yours.
Great shortcuts. Go get a program, go buy in, get some type of framework and start there.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully out of this, I have convinced you that systems and processes are built around the owner, non-negotiably, who they are in their communication style, where they are in their business in terms of what weight they have to carry, which is going to minimize the ability to communicate. Super important that it's built around strengths and weaknesses. Knowing yourself is a part of that first growth marker. I know that there are certain emails, let's call them critical emails.
Yeah, critically important emails.
I don't even take a stab. Here's the stab. Evelyn, I need this email. And she's like, okay, she just knows because I will sit there for 30 freaking minutes on something that will take her 2 minutes because it'll just flow to the fingertips and I will be on the first sentence for 10 minutes. I think one time before we just knew, like, don't even send me a draft. But there were early days where Evelyn would be like, just send me what you got. One day I sent you like one word or something. It was like, hi, so-and-so. And then I sent her that. I'm like, here's where I'm at. But I had sat there for like 15 minutes and I'm like, this is dumb. So if organization is the bottleneck, if creating the lists is the bottleneck, you have to lead that strategy, have a foundation, understand how it works, but you don't have to do it. If it's just not easy for you to organize that information, if emails are not your strength on those critical components, it might not be an assistant. Strengths and weaknesses, it's typically a higher level thinker that you're like, hey, I need this, and it's going to take them way faster.
And it didn't go straight Penelope to Logan. It went Penelope to Shayna, Shayna to Samantha and Logan, Penelope to Logan. You know, because you don't want to ask your executor to do your strategy work for you. They're the yes people. They're not the ones thinking critically, pushing back. What about this? Have you considered this? And if you're here feeling like you're failing at something or feeling like you're struggling with something, feeling like you could be better, you're going to need that part of the conversation too.
Yeah. And listen, this is the challenge with owners. I know that you can do everything. I know that. That's why you're the seat you're in. You started the business doing everything. That's what got it to where it was. So this is the challenge in the brain of also letting some go. You got to let it go. You have to lead it. You have to coach it. You have to provide specific instruction to it. And that's where you have the confidence to let it go. And that buildup, as we've talked about on previous episodes, is long and lengthy. Even if something feels like it's a 5-minute something, it's not. Likely a 5-minute ask, if that process and foundation is not documented, it really is about 5 minutes, could be 2 hours in terms of strategizing, creating written documentation, and then teaching it or getting it implemented with the team, and then off to the races. It's not simple. It is time. So also lead with the expectation. And I think that's another aspect then me and Penelope chatted about at the end of this call. Don't think that you're going to go from failure to 100% success. And she wasn't failing, by the way. It just felt like that in terms of things flowing. But it's not 0 to 100. It's the, okay, now I'm going to set an intention and start implementing these voice notes. We knew that there wasn't going to be perfect 100%. It was organized exact how I wanted it and had all the information I needed because there's no strategy and framework yet. But we're starting the initiative. We're starting to implement and create the habit as a leader to hold that aspect accountable. And then all the work can come after that. Then we meet, we strategize how the information should be organized, how we are going to collect those to-dos as needed throughout the processes, or how we're going to set up and enhance the project kickoff to schedule that workflow. So we have an understanding of roughly how many hours and at what part of the project phase should we be working on. And then all of that continues to get enhanced, documented, and then we're hitting our 100. It's not the instant gratification that you're looking for. You've got to realize that the win starts with the habit that you as the leader start to commit to. That's where the first win happens. That's your immediate. And then carving out the time to work on your business, which most people are not doing, minimum 2-hour block a week, working on your business, creating strategy and processes, and then we implement, and that's where we hit that 100%.
Yeah. So if you're feeling the mental load, who isn't? But if you're feeling it in that really heavy way that's bringing you down, if you have someone around you that you're delegating to that you consistently feel like, they did not give me what I asked for. They are not doing what I need them to do. Or on the other hand, if you feel like, I know I'm not giving them what they need, if you're actually pointing at yourself instead of them, good for you. That's already a step in the right direction.
Kudos. Yeah.
All of these are super relatable feelings. You are not alone. Penelope just showed you that. But hopefully this episode gave you some tools that you can use right now and moving forward to help get you out of that stuck place, because we know how it feels and it sucks.
Well, that's a wrap on another live coaching episode. If there's one key takeaway we want you to walk away with, it's this. There's no one-size-fits-all approach to delegation and leadership. And you are not failing if you can't stick to someone else's system. You're not broken if you need to communicate differently than what the business books tell you. The way you lead is valid. Whether you're a detailed email delegator like Evelyn or a verbal voice note delegator like me, what matters is that you build your systems, your routines, and your team structure around who you are, not who you think you're supposed to be.
Hate to break it to you, but the perfect system is not just going to fall into your lap. Stop thinking you can buy a course or a framework and just plug yourself into it without some customization. Systems and processes must be built around you, the owner, around your communication style, your strengths, your weaknesses, and where you are in your business growth right now. If your assistant is quote unquote failing, it's probably you, not them. It's likely that you haven't given them the clear instruction, the documented processes, and the framework they need to succeed. And that's on you as the leader to fix.
So here's what I want you to do. If you are struggling with delegation right now, I want you to identify what type of delegator you actually are this week. Are you verbal or written? Do you need meetings or can you handle it through emails and messages? What bottlenecks you specifically? Once you figured this out, make one immediate change in your delegation style that works with your brain, not against it. Maybe that's sending voice notes after every client meeting before you put that car in reverse. Or maybe that's scheduling execution time on your calendar so your team knows when you're actually going to get their work done. Whatever it is, commit to one new habit this week and start building from there.
And if you're at that point where you know you need help, but you don't know where to start, or if you're feeling like you're failing as a leader or your team is just not performing the way you need them to, it's time to get strategic support. You don't need to strategize your way out of this alone. We'll get to know your leadership style, your business model, and your team structure to help you build a custom framework that actually works. That's exactly what we did for Penelope.
So, when you're ready to stop feeling like you're drowning in delegation and start building a team structure that actually supports your strengths as a leader, take action now. Go to fordesignerbusiness.com or click the booking link in the show notes to schedule a free call with us. You're just one call away from leading with confidence instead of confusion.
If you loved today's episode, please help us reach more designers just like you by rating, reviewing, and subscribing wherever you listen. And we also want to give a huge shout out to our brave listener who sent in today's voice memo. Your courage to share your struggles and then your successes helps so many other designers who are going through the exact same thing. So Take a moment right after this episode and send us your anonymous voicemail at the link in the show notes. We run your questions through a voice changer to maintain your anonymity and your privacy. So do yourself a favor and your business a favor and submit your question now. We want to hear from you, so don't be shy.
Remember, delegation is not about doing it perfectly from day one. It's about starting the habit, committing to the process, and iterating as you go. You didn't build your business overnight, and you're not going to perfect your delegation overnight either. But if you start with one intentional change, you will see progress. And that progress compounds. So lead with intention, document your processes, and give your team the tools they need to help you succeed.
So take action today. Stop trying to fit into someone else's leadership mold and start building the team and the systems that work for you. Until next time, keep designing and keep dreaming.
Let's get it.